My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ, this is the last time I can wish all of you Happy Easter, so I want to wish you Happy Easter at the beginning of our celebration today. The Feast of Pentecost is the conclusion of the Easter celebration, which has been going on for 50 days. And what we do when we celebrate Easter is profess publicly to the world around us that Jesus is risen from the dead and has been the source of new life for us. So the custom is to say, for me to say to you, the Lord is risen, and for you to respond, the Lord is truly risen. So let's do that. The Lord is risen. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia. In today's second reading, St. Paul tells us that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we can say those words on our own, but they're just words unless they rise from the depths of our heart. When we say Jesus is Lord, that means he's the king of our lives, the center of our lives, the one who controls our way of thinking, our way of speaking, our way of acting. To say Jesus is Lord is to submit our lives fully to him. And that's what we do when we celebrate our baptism or our confirmation. It's a way of saying to the Lord Jesus and saying to the world around us and saying to ourselves that Jesus is truly the Lord of my life. In the earliest days of the church, perhaps for the first 100 years, the church was much smaller than you and I probably imagine. By the time St. Peter and the other apostles left Jerusalem and Israel to become missionaries to the world, sociologists tell us there were probably no more than 300 or 400 Christians in Jerusalem, a very small community. And that was true as the church grew in different parts of the world. They were originally just small communities of 100 or 200 people who believed in Jesus. And because of that, when someone was going to be baptized or confirmed, the person who led the celebration was the bishop. Now, as the church began to grow, and I mean really grow, those communities of 100 or 200 people became thousands, and in the case of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia today, 1.5 million. And because of that, the bishop can't do all the baptisms. That's the job of our good priests and deacons. But in order to help us understand that when we are received into the church through baptism and confirmation, we're not just received into our parish, but into the church, which is, we call a diocese, the church now reserves the confirmation of candidates to the bishop to teach you and to remind me that we are one church. And just as the priests are the pastors of your parishes, the bishop is the pastor of our church. So you don't belong to St. Isidore Church, you belong to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You don't belong to St. Mary's Church, you belong to the Church of Southeastern Pennsylvania. You belong to those parishes, which are small units within our church, but the church is the Archdiocese. And this church building, the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul, is the mother church of the diocese. You know, you each have your own parish, it belongs to your community, but this place belongs to all of us. It's the mother church of the Church of Southeastern Pennsylvania. And that's why you're here for your confirmation today, for me to share with you the gift of the Holy Spirit that the church has received as the completion of your baptism. What was begun in your baptism is completed in your confirmation. When you were baptized, most of you were little children, your niños, right? Today, you're much older. In those days, your parents and your godparents, your padrinos, spoke for you. Today, you speak for yourself. In those days, they carried you in as babies in their arms. Today, I don't think anyone carried you in, right? You walked in on your own two feet. And so the faith that was professed for you by your parents and godparents, you must now profess for yourself. And that faith is what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus es el Señor. It's the foundational proclamation of the faith of our church. Do you mean that? Do we mean this as we gather together as a community of Jesus Christ in the 21st century in southeastern Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in the Basilica Cathedral of St. Peter and St. Paul? Today is the Feast of Pentecost. We celebrate many things. In the early church, on that event, 10 days after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down upon the church, as we heard from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles, who were before that time afraid, they didn't go out to face the community, they were fearful for their own lives. All of a sudden, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, they became missionaries who preached the gospel courageously and clearly without compromise. And that was a miracle. The Holy Spirit turns cowards into missionaries and turns fearful people into people who have confidence in speaking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That was the first miracle. The cowards were turned into heroes. The second miracle is perhaps even more astounding, because the reading tells us not only did they preach, but those who were listening heard the gospel, how? In their own language, which means they really understood it and received it deep in their hearts. And I think it's more of a miracle to listen than to talk, to receive the good news of Jesus Christ with faith in our hearts than to speak about it. Because there's no clear speaking without genuine believing. We can't give to others what we don't have ourselves. And the Holy Spirit continues to do those two things, to give us courage to speak, but even more importantly, to open our ears, even when we're 68 years old, like I am, or 50, or 30, or 20, or 18, to listen to the Word of God and receive it in our hearts, as in our home, in our own language. We celebrate today diversity in the church. The first reading was in Spanish, because so many of you who are here have Spanish as your mother tongue. Sometimes that's irritating to those who speak English, just as it's irritating when everything is read in English, when your first language is Spanish. But on this day of Pentecost, we shouldn't be irritated. We should be grateful that the gospel is proclaimed in English and in Spanish, because we celebrate the fact that the church has many sides, is very beautiful, is diverse in all its members. And each one of us, whether we're from Mexico or from Peru or from Philadelphia or from New York or from Africa or from Asia, from South America, from North America, each one of us is a gift from God to the whole church. And the church is not complete unless the gospel is proclaimed everywhere. When the Holy Spirit came upon the early church as a wind, the wind is described as a driving wind. It drove them outside of the upper room of the church where they were to preach the gospels in the street. And God drives us as his missionaries today to go into the streets of our lives to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And each of us does that in his or her own way because of the rich variety and diversity in the church. We have to understand that diversity is not the same as division. Division means we separate, we put up walls, we divide ourselves off from others. Diversity is we recognize that in the differences among us, there's a richness that is a gift of God. On the Feast of Pentecost, the church experienced diversity, but it also experienced unity. And unity is not the same thing as uniformity. Uniformity means we do things in exactly the same way. Everybody does everything in exactly the same way as everyone else. That's not what unity is. Unity is oneness of faith. It means we believe the same things. And oneness of heart. We love one another as sisters and brothers. And in that unity, we respect the diversity of the church in all its members, which gives glory to God. So in the church, the distinctions between different races and languages, between the economic background, where we come from, or how much we have, make no difference at all, because we are sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus, who is truly the Lord of our lives. So, my dear sisters and brothers, especially those being confirmed this evening, we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit in our baptism, and you are going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit uniquely again in your confirmation. That Holy Spirit wants you to use your gifts, your beautiful gifts, beautiful gift of that son, is that child as he's running, you know, and he's youthful. That's okay, don't worry about it. We welcome children in our church because they remind us that the Holy Spirit wants us all to be young. Would that we would run like that with that kind of joy for the Lord, right? Even if we're old. So the Holy Spirit is given to you to use your gifts for the good of the whole community. The Holy Spirit is given to you to be missionaries of the Word of God to others. We pray that the Lord will bring to completion the good work he begins in each one of you today.